Welcome to the Life Church Podcast. We are an Acts 2:42 community, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to Warrington. We hope you are ready to hear what God has to say to you today through His Word and by His Spirit.
Okay, so today we are talking about the triumphal entry. Okay, so we're going to get a slide in a minute because I'll forget everything without slides. We're talking about when Jesus turns up in Jerusalem. Okay, I've got four readers. Come up, people who I've jumped on. Marco, you were one. You're coming up to read. You agreed to this. You're now like, what's going on? Come on, Marco. Who else? Boaz? Come on, people who've been asked to read. Mike's coming. It's not you, Sam. You're doing a different bit. Who else? And Hoda. Yes, Hoda, come. Do you remember which bit you're doing?
Yeah.
Good, because I don't. Okay, so we're going to read the Bible together. We're going to read Matthew 21, 1 to 11. Who was first? Are you first?
چون به اورشلیم نزدیک شدند و به بیت‌فاجی در دامنه کوه زیتون رسیدند، عیسی دو تن از شاگردان خود را فرستاده به آنها فرمود: به دهکده‌ای که پیش روی شماست بروید، به محض ورود الاغی را با کرش بسته خواهید یافت، آنها را باز کنید و به نزد من آورید. اگر کسی سخنی به شما گفت، بگویید خداوند بدانها نیاز دارد و او بیدرنگ آنها را خواهد فرستاد.
In English.
You'll be good. You'll be great.
Are you sure?
I believe in you.
Okay. This took place to fulfill what has spoken through the prophet. Said to Dr. Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and this as Jesus has instructed them.
Awesome, okay. Is this you? No.
They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road.
The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven.
When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowd answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.
Thank you very much, guys. So Lord Jesus, as we unpack this together, just Holy Spirit, dwell within us and show us the truth that you have in these words. So we're reading about Jesus arriving in Jerusalem, okay? The story that we're looking at, it's always really important to unpack a story, like, and to understand the setting that it's within, okay? So we start here with Jesus, pretty good painting, isn't it? Like Jesus, he's on Mount Zion looking down into Jerusalem, okay? How far do you think it is to Jerusalem? From there? Go on.
3 miles.
3 miles. Okay, someone who reads his Bible well or has already prepped this preach a different year. Yeah, so it's about 3 miles. So it's sort of the same distance as like Grappen Hall to the centre of town, I reckon, or like WA5. And so he's coming to Jerusalem and he's looking down. Why is he going to Jerusalem? Anyone know? Lucas isn't allowed. Why is he going to Jerusalem? Any guesses? Passover, exactly. So Jesus is heading to Jerusalem because he's Jewish. You all know that Jesus is Jewish, right? Yeah. And so because Jesus is Jewish, he wants to celebrate Passover. Because the thing is, we talk about Jesus, and most of us aren't Jewish and haven't really got much experience of Jewishness. But Jesus didn't just come to explode the world and change everything. Jesus came to do the stuff that God had already been doing and renew it and bring it to life more. And so he's coming to do Passover because if you're a good Jewish lad, you go to Jerusalem 3 times a year. There's 3 festivals that you go for. There's the Feast of Tabernacles. There's another one that I've forgotten the name of. And there's Passover that they would all go for. And what I want to highlight, if you take nothing else away from this passage, is that Jesus is being super deliberate the whole way through. The whole way through, he's doing everything he's doing on purpose to, like, underline a point, okay? And so, Passover, does that remind you of anything, that picture? Does it remind you of anything we do here? Which is communion, okay? And that's not a surprise, because communion is based on Passover. You know, Jesus took the bread and he took the wine, okay, intentionally mirroring this. What was Passover about? This is mostly a quiz rather than a preach today, I hope you understand. What's Passover about? Come on, the cheap seats at the back. Craig, what's Passover about? Craig doesn't know, so... It's Exodus, okay, yeah. So it's the story of the Jews being stuck in Israel, stuck in Egypt, okay. And they do this meal to stop the wrath of God coming upon them, okay. And so Jesus deliberately comes at Passover at a time when the wrath of God is stopped from coming on people, because we know that Jesus comes to free us from the consequences of our sin. And Jesus, the whole way through this passage, he knows exactly what's happening. Like, every bit of this is orchestrated and put together to underline that point, that Jesus knows what's coming, that this is all leading to the cross. Okay. So they approached Jerusalem, and they came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." It's a slightly weird story, isn't it? Like, I'm going to jump at what first really pokes out at me. Jesus sent two disciples. Because the message of the cross, the message of salvation, the message of church is that God is amazing and does not need us, okay? God doesn't need you. Like, the church plant that Dorothy is starting is not reliant on Dorothy being brilliant, okay?
I'm not brilliant.
Exactly. I'm not brilliant either. We're together on that, okay? And Jesus does not need two disciples to go and do anything. And also, how many people do you really need to go and bring a donkey back or a couple of donkeys back? Jesus wants to involve us in this journey. Again and again and again, Jesus reaches out for you, okay, and wants you as part of this journey. And so he sends the two disciples and he says, "You will find a donkey tied there." So what's that? That bit there. "You will find a donkey there." What's that? Okay, it's not a very exciting one, but it is actually a miracle. Okay, it's a miracle because he just knows there's a donkey there. Okay, I don't think Jesus sneaked out to Bethphage in the middle of the night, put a donkey there, ran back, and then I'm going to look really impressive because I know there's a donkey there. Maybe he did, says Dorothy, but I think probably not, okay? And I've got an example of this. So anyone know what a photo this is of? What is this kind of party? A stag do and a hen do, yeah. So in English culture, when you get married, okay, the men have a party called a stag do and the women have a party called a hen do. Okay, and in the non-Christian world, there tends to be a lot of alcohol involved, okay? But even in the Christian world, like we've got Eddie at the back here somewhere, we made him busk outside a pub before he was allowed a pint, you know, at his stag do. I went on a stag do once with my friend Dave, and he lived in London, so we went down to South London, and I didn't run this stag do, but it was so well orchestrated, okay? My friend organised it. So what we did, his fiancée said to Dave, "Let's go to a bookshop. I've heard this is a really good bookshop." So they went to this bookshop in the middle of a place he'd never been to. No idea about it at all. And while they were in there, me and my friend sneaked into the shop across the road. And we said, "We're doing a stag do. Can you help us with this?" So the man in the shop went over to the bookshop and said, "Is there a Dave here? I've got a letter for you in my shop." And Dave was like, "What is going on?" Like, "I'm not, what?" And so he left. And when he left, his fiancée ran. We jumped in a taxi and we went to the train station, okay? And he opened the letter and it said, "Go to the train station." And he was like, so we basically, over that evening, we kidnapped him, okay? I got strangers to go up to him and give him letters, you know. At one point, I was on a train carriage that he got on, and he walked right at me and then turned right and didn't see me. I had a fake moustache that I was wearing. At one point, I was sat on a bus stop pretending to read a newspaper, and he walked past me. And at the end of it, when it was time to tell him where we were, I went up to him in my outfit with a cigarette. And I went, all right, mate, have you got a light? And he was like, sorry, I don't smoke. And I went, Dave, come on, Dave. And he looked at me, he was like, what? But all of that was trickery, okay? That was me just, he felt like I'd had all this power over him, but I didn't. But in this story here, Jesus just knows. Jesus just knows, okay? So we've got Jesus wants relationship with us. And then we've got that Jesus knows all things. He is God. So he just knows that there is a donkey there. He knows intimately every aspect of every situation. And then finally, he says to them, if anyone says anything to you, say, the Lord needs these donkeys, and they'll just give them to you. Okay, so what's that demonstrating? It's demonstrating authority. Okay, it's demonstrating, so if I go to you, if I say to you now, Jess, okay, can you go to Zalo's? Okay, if you go in the back of Zalo's, there's a bicycle. Okay, so you'll assume I've gone and checked, because how would I know there's a bicycle? I want you to go in there, I want you to take the bicycle, okay, and just say, don't worry, Chris has need of this. Okay, will you be leaving with a bicycle, or will you end up in a fight? Exactly. Jess often has fights in Zalo's, it's just her thing, that's fine. Jesus has an authority, because he just knows that that's going to work. He knows, he has... This whole bit, I'm not very good at young people slang, but he's like flexing, like this whole thing. He's just showing that he could do everything if he wanted to. And that everything that happens to him after this is because he chooses that to take place. He chooses to step into that situation. It's a bit like the donkey ownership thing. Who's done the life in the UK test? Some people have done life in the UK test. Yep. Does it ask about swans? Does it talk about swans at all? Ah, you see, well, you need to know about swans to become properly British. So technically, the king, or it used to be the queen, owns all of the swans in England. I don't know why. I think so that they can... Sorry? Only on the Thames, apparently. Fine. But the point being that if you go and get one of those swans and kill it, then the king can be like, I'm putting you in prison because that's my swan. God owns the whole world, okay? Every swan isn't actually the king's. Every sparrow, every person, everything, every bicycle, every donkey. And he's demonstrating his ownership of the world. And it says that this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Okay, say to daughter Zion, see your kingdom comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, we could be cynical here, and we could say, well, fine, I could get a donkey now. Like, 10 years ago, Lucas got a donkey at Latchford, you know, and Lucas could have got on that donkey and said, see everyone, your king comes, you know, I'm on a donkey, this scripture is being fulfilled, okay? But also, what's even more powerful than fulfilling a scripture by accident, is doing it on purpose. It's just underlining, you know. It's saying, see this, what's happening right now? This is your king coming to you. And he does it at other times as well. So when he goes into the temple and he says, right here, right now, this scripture is fulfilled in your sight. He's making it as obvious as possible so that no one can be like, well, he was powerless and that's why he dies on the cross. No. He has all the power. And then they brought the donkey and the colt, and they placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. And I could have just skipped over that sentence, but I think it highlights quite a few things for Jesus to sit on that donkey. So first of all, this is the only time in the whole of the New Testament that Jesus is ever recorded as not going on foot. Like, he gets in some boats, which is cheating. And even then, sometimes he walks across the water instead. But this is the only time that he deliberately gets on a horse. And there was a tradition of, you know, King David riding to battle, and you go on a war horse. Who's seen a Shire horse? They're absolutely vast. They're these huge. He'd have been on this big thing covered in iron. There was a tradition that if you come on a donkey, it's a sign of peace. And so he's coming, and he's saying, because he's still up there, isn't he? Like, he's still, like, we have a stage, and we don't really use the stage at Latchford, because we worry that it says, look how amazing the people on the stage are, you know? Like, if you put the band up here, it can be like the focus is on the band rather than the person we're praising. Like, that's why I'm not up here, I'm down there. But Jesus, it doesn't matter that he's coming in peace, he's coming in power and authority. And then finally, it says they took some cloaks and they put them on for Jesus to sit on. Are some cloaks, who's ridden a horse? Hands up if you've ridden a horse. Okay. Did you ride it bareback? No. You did ride it bareback. Of course Julie rode it bareback. when you rode it, did you put some blankets on? Yeah, saddles. And they're pretty solid, aren't they, saddles? Like, they're pretty, yeah, like, they keep you kind of, like, as in, just a blanket does not provide very much support. The king deserves better. But this is all they've got. Because Jesus wants the best that we've got. And he knows it's a bit rubbish. Like, and that's fine. Like, God absolutely underlined again, he wants us as part of this journey. He doesn't need us as part of this journey, but that's what he's here for, is to involve us. And then it says, a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the ground, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And that just seems pointless to me. Okay, if you came to my house for dinner, okay, and you're driving your car to my house, and you're getting near my house, I say, hang on, stop. And I take off my coat and I spread it before your car, and then you just drive your car over my coat. Like, I know there's some, like, glory there. You know, I'm honoring you, but it's not making any difference to your car. And the thing is here, I don't know if you know this, but donkeys poo, you know? Like, as in, it just seems, and they're just saying, just, we want to do whatever we can to show this to you. And they put palms down. So I've got a little painting of some palms there. From this time and from like 300 years before, in Roman culture, palms had come to mean victory. Like, as in, even the word in Latin, palma, might not speak Cantonese, but I can do a bit of Latin. Palma, okay, means victory. Okay, like, as in, and so they're saying, have anything of us. We just want to give something of any bit of us to honor you, because you're the one who comes in victory. And the crowd went ahead of him, and they followed, and they shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Okay, they are at 10, aren't they? Like, they are out of, on a scale of 0 to 10, in terms of how on board they are, they're at a 10, okay? Who likes Taylor Swift? Come on, surely someone likes Taylor Swift. One person in the whole room, apparently. Okay, if we went on your Spotify and your phones, we would find that that is a lie, and many of you likes Taylor Swift. The people who are like the bodyguards for Taylor Swift, walking behind Taylor Swift, when she like walks into an area, like she gets this kind of experience, Taylor Swift! You know, like everyone, the bodyguards walking with her would be like, this is the rock star. This is, we have backed a winning horse here. And the disciples at this moment, they've gone through like 3 years with Jesus. A lot of it's been really weird and really difficult. Lots of it's been up mountains and, you know, not having all of the luxuries of home. But at this moment, they're like, okay, nah. Yeah, we're right here. This Jesus is the one. He's the king, okay? And I want to illustrate this point a bit, and I'm going to get Lucas and Sam to help me with that in a second. But all of this is so intentional. There's so much of a plan here. Jesus is making it very clear, because there are three different walks like this. Okay, there's Jesus walking into Jerusalem that we've just read about. Okay, but after this, we've got another walk that Jesus takes. Okay, that's coming next week. Okay, but that is Jesus in the same town walking without any of that glory. And the thing is, we know it's going to get redeemed. We know what's coming next, okay? Because actually, if you read Revelation 7, it talks about the Lamb of God in heaven. And it talks about people cheering and proclaiming and throwing down palms. And it's basically exactly the same as this scene in Jerusalem, but in heaven, okay? So we know where it's going. It goes down, but it goes up again. But what I want to focus on a little bit now is the down and the up again. And I've actually prayed about it, and I don't know which way to do it. I don't know whether or not to do down or up again. And I think I'm going to start with good, and then I'm going to go down, okay? And I want us to emulate this together. So first of all, can I have Sam up? Come on, Sam. Come and join me. Okay, so what's the best football team in the world? Yeah. So it is obviously Warrington Town FC. I think we're all agreed there, aren't we? Okay, can you pop this shirt on, Sam? Okay. So Sam, we're going to ignore his hat. If you take the jumper off, it'll be... I don't... Just put it on, squeeze it, it'll be fine. Okay, let's give him a little cheer just as he puts it on. Warrington! Okay. Now, what I want us to do is I want us to emulate... We're going to... Yeah, the hat's really spoiling the Warrington Town support. Okay. So, what I want us to do now, we're actually going to try a little experiment, okay, as we do this, okay, because what I want us to do is actually feel some of the emotions that were being felt in this place, okay? So, Sam, I want you to go out those doors, okay? Go out there, and Mike's gonna let you in a bit, and when you come back in, you're going to come in and walk all the way to the front, okay, when Mike lets you, okay? So when we let Sam in, okay, and sometimes we need a bit of warm-up, don't we? Sometimes we need some Mexican waves, okay? I don't want that today, okay, because we're trying to emulate an emotion. When Sam comes in and walks down here, I want 100% cheering, okay? I want you up, I want you, Sam, yes, exactly, like this, okay? I want you as excited and happy and just, I want you to make Sam feel like he is the best person in the world, okay? Can you do that? Can you do that? Yeah. Okay, let Sam in. It's Sam! Yes! Sam, come on! Yes! Come on, Sam! Woo! Sam! Woo! Yes! That felt good, didn't it? You're awesome, Sam. We love you. You can sit down now. You've done that bit. Okay. And I wanted to do that. You can keep the t-shirt if you want. I wanted to do that because that's how this moment felt, okay? It was big, okay? It was limitless hope and limitless potential and just yes, okay? But the next bit we're going to do, and I've asked Lucas to help me with this, and I actually asked Lucas because we love Lucas and we respect Lucas, okay? I didn't tell them to laugh. And actually, so I know Lucas can take it, and I know that Lucas won't think this is what we think, but I think it's really useful to explore this emotion because the writers intentionally paralleled these things. Like the writer of this gospel put one story and then put another story and in similar ways. So what we've got here is a Widnes Vikings shirt. Okay. Because fundamentally, Lucas is a traitor right now. Like, it's disgusting, isn't it? Okay, go out the doors again for me, mate. And like some of you might want to hold back on the next bit, but I want you to not do that, okay? Because when he comes in, I want you to boo him, okay? Yeah, I know, it feels hard, okay? But I want us to experience this emotion, okay? So I want you to boo like you hate him, okay? Because that's what happens to Jesus. Like, this isn't a good moment, Okay, and I'm not having a go at anyone here. I'm just saying, let's experience this emotion together. And we know Lucas can take it. Lucas understands. We'll give him a hug afterwards and we'll cheer him afterwards. But when he comes in, we're going to get on our feet and we're going to be like, you suck. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay, let's let Lucas in. Boo! You suck! Get out! You're rubbish, Lucas! Boo! Okay, now you can cheer him. Come on, that's fine. Those two things are juxtaposed because it's intentional that Jesus ends up in that place. He's intentionally coming, and he's not just doing a thing. He's not just turning up. It says the whole city was stirred, okay? They were moved. They had emotions. They had experience here. And they said, when someone said, who is this? What's going on? What is this all about? They knew. They knew it was Jesus. They knew what was coming. And I know there's people, can I have the band up? I know there's people in this church who maybe don't know all of the details of Christianity. I was at some teaching the other day, and they said, no pastor ever failed because they don't know who wrote Habakkuk. Okay? I don't know who wrote Habakkuk. I want to say Habakkuk. Actually, there's loads that we don't know about Christianity, but there are some fundamentals that you do need to know. There's a great little leaflet that you can get for these. God loves me. I have sinned. Jesus died for me, and I need to decide if I'm going to live for God. And that first bit, that heart, the heart that we made for that church, God loves me. That's that big moment. That's walking in and knowing that the God of the universe cares so much about you. But that cross, I have sinned. That's when you're booed. That's when, and it's not God booing you necessarily. It's your sin condemning you. Okay, it's the dark places that we live in sometimes. But Jesus knows all of this. He knows your failings. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your lack of faith. He knows your fears. He knows the dark places so intimately because it's deliberate. It's not by mistake that this happened. He didn't just find a donkey. He was saying, I love you. I'm powerful. I know you. I care about you. And I am here. I am here. And he's saying there, I'm here in Jerusalem. But he's here in your life now. And we heard some great testimonies today of people who felt like they weren't good enough or that they had broken lives that couldn't be redeemed. But Jesus ended up utterly unredeemable, right at the bottom. Like we booed Lucas hesitantly, but they threw stones and hit him and made him carry a cross, and he bled to death, suffocating in his own fluid in his lungs. Because he loved us. And I'm going to have a little opportunity to respond in a second, but there's just a refrain that I really love, which I wrote on my hand because I forgot the words. And it says, I just want you, nothing else. Nothing else will do. Then we're going to sing that a few times together, and then I'm going to give you an opportunity. If there's something here that you need to respond to, I'm going to ask you to put your hands up, okay? And we'll pray together. Because the message of the cross, like we're going to sing a song now to Jesus saying, I just want you, nothing else will do. But the message of the cross is that that's what Jesus said about us. He said, I want you to go and get a donkey for me. He said, I want your cloths on my donkey. He said, I want you to throw stuff before me and I want to be there for you. And I want to die on a cross so that you never need to feel separated and lost and alone ever again. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. God is relentless in his pursuit and love for us.
We've come to the end of this week's message. We hope you've been impacted and inspired. Please keep up to date with everything that's happening by visiting our website at www.lifechurchwarrington.com.